Well, welcome everybody to New Testament Christian Fellowship this morning. I know we're a few minutes late, but there are a lot of people being fed this morning through Facebook. So again, welcome. We're going to do things a little bit different this morning. Instead of a song, the Lord has laid upon my heart that someone out there may need this message I'm about to give before I start my regular message. I want to talk to you about Christianity. I want to talk to you about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, a genuine one. This message comes straight from the scriptures in my heart to bring you the truth about what it really means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, our Father who art in heaven sent His Son Jesus Christ to this earth to represent the kingdom of heaven and to become our Savior and our Lord. Our Savior is the part where Jesus died for our sins. See, we were a sinful people when Adam sinned in the garden, and it's carried through, and we needed a Savior to approach a holy God. And Jesus was that sinless man who came and lived a sinless life and died for our sins. And He became our Savior. But you see, He didn't stay in the grave. He died for our sins. But He rose again. And that made Him Lord. So Jesus is both, as God in heaven, our Father says, Savior and Lord. He died for our sins, but He rose again and became our Lord. So we need to make Him both Lord and Savior. The problem today is everybody wants their ticket to heaven, and they want to make Him Savior. But the hard part is to come into agreement with His Lordship, that we're no longer part of this world anymore. We're part of heaven's family. And we have a new set of guidelines, standards that our Father in heaven gives to us. And that's called Lordship. See, it's about knowing Jesus, not just knowing about Him. We can go to church all our life and know all about Him and teach Sunday school, but we may never come to really just know Him. And knowing Him is the key, because in knowing Him as Lord, it changes our life. He sends the Holy Spirit into our life, and we are empowered to live the Christian life. So I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're out there and you know about Jesus, because the devil knows about Jesus, but he doesn't really know Him. To get to really be intimate with Him, we have to make Him Lord. And God gives us the faith to do that. It says God gives us a measure of faith, so we have the capability of making Jesus boss, if you will, or Lord of our life. Because our tendency is to want to live for the world and have God and the world, and God says no. It's just Him, God alone. And so He gives us a measure of faith, but we have to remember what faith is. Faith without works is dead. It's not just believing that He's Lord. It's acting on the fact that He's Lord. It's conforming your life to His. And so I go to the scripture. It says, for by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Saved by grace, but it has to be through faith. And the other part, we have to believe, but we've also got to receive. And that means acting upon this free grace that we've been giving. You could have $1 million in your bank, but if you do not spend it, it does you nothing. The grace that God gives us, the faith that God gives us, has to be acted upon. And that's the part I want to talk to you about today. That it's time, if you haven't already given your life to Jesus Christ, to make Him Master or Lord. I think sometimes we preach a message where we trample upon grace. We preach all about grace, but we end up trampling upon it and make it a cheap grace because we don't take the second part of that, of making Him Lord, into effect. But I'm here to tell you today, in order to reach the Father in heaven, who's holy, and because He is holy, He will not commingle with sin, we have got to make Jesus Christ Lord. And yes, we can be a work in progress. We are going to mess up, but Jesus is there to forgive us. But we have to have a bent. We have to have a resolve to make Him that Lord. So I'm here to tell you about the scriptures in Revelation that says, fight for your faith, that we're in a fight for faith, that we must endure, that we must persevere, that we must overcome. That means faith is just not going to sit there and remain idle. We have to activate it, because if we don't, he warns us and he tells us not to fall away, to hold fast to your faith until the end, to endure, to persevere. See, these are things that involve our walk with God. It's not just about a free ticket to heaven and us taking grace for granted and saying, oh, everybody wants their ticket to heaven. Of course we do. Nobody wants to go to hell. But God has made Jesus both Savior and Lord. And it's more than just his death on that cross. It's his resurrection and our new kinship with God, our relationship with him, that requires us by choice, and we all have it, to make him Lord of our life. So if you've not done that this morning, if you've not done that in the past, maybe you've even been going to church all your life, you've made him Savior, but you really don't know him, you know about him, then I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right now, and you can become part of God's family that quickly, because God will act upon it that quickly. And you'll know it, because when the Holy Spirit fills you, you will change. You'll sense that change. It could be a radical change or a mild change that you take it in steps. But you will change. So let's pray this prayer. Father, I don't want to know just about you. I want to know you. I want to know you so intimately that I recognize that you're not just my ticket to heaven. You're Lord. You're King now. God has made you King over the heavens and the earth. And because of that, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I realize that I've been bought with a price, the blood of your blood, Jesus Christ. And I no longer live for myself, I live for the future. I live for you now. And while I'm here on earth, I will structure my life to live by your standards, because you're still King over my life now. This I hold on to and fight for. This is the faith that I believe in. This is belief. Belief is an obedience. Faith without works is dead. So I take my faith and I believe in you, and I also dedicate my life to you. And I ask Holy Spirit to come into my life. Jesus has promised to send you into my life to give me the ability to walk this out and to actually live this life of faith. So thank you, Lord God Almighty, for sending your Son to die for my sins, but also to make Jesus Lord, so that I can be in intimate relationship with you and know you, and to get together with you through prayer, through worship, through gathering together with saints in church, and just through reading your word to get to know you even more intimately. Thank you, Lord God. It's the greatest gift to mankind that has ever been given. And we're this morning so, so grateful. And for those of you this morning that have accepted Jesus but have never acted on your faith but are willing to do that right now, welcome to the family of God. We're glad you're with us. And we hope to see you in a church that will help you to continue to grow in that relationship, because that's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. I pray you receive that with all of the love that I have in my heart to bring that message to you, because I just don't want people to feel that they can go through life without understanding the Lordship of Jesus, because it's just part of the grace that God gives us. Amen. So, Father, this morning as I bring my message to those who are Christians, because the Holy Spirit will help us to understand, I pray just that. Holy Spirit, you will take the words that I speak and you will transform them into a language that we can all understand about living this life underneath the kingship, the lordship of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who brings us into fellowship with the Father in heaven and promises us paradise, but also lordship, where we can represent you in the here and now, with our life right now, showing other people that having you in our life makes a profound difference. Doesn't promise us we won't go through trial or tribulation, because it rains on the just and the unjust, but you'll be with us, and that comfort alone and that strength alone will get us through until we meet you face to face in heaven and all the worldly things pass away, and there'll be no more tears and there'll be no more sin, and we'll live with you forever in heaven. God, make that message clear this morning through this message in Jesus' name. The precious name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to talk this morning. I've entitled the sermon this morning, In Charge of God's Garden. In Charge of God's Garden. Now, that may sound familiar to you, because when Adam was first created by God, he was put in charge of God's garden. When Jesus came back and he died for our sins and restored our relationship back to the Father, we once again are in charge. We have his authority and power. And we have his authority and power to overcome in this world. See, in God's original plan for mankind, he placed us in his garden. And we were instructed to cultivate it. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 15 and see where God made this statement to mankind. It says this: Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Well, some of you may be saying, what does cultivation mean? Well, you farmers out there know. But to cultivate means to nurture or to make grow. The Bible often uses the principles of gardening to teach us about life in God's kingdom. Or we could say God's garden. Or we could say God's beautiful park. Or we could say paradise. Or we could simply say heaven. All these names are synonymous with our life in the hereafter with our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. You see, when Adam failed to cultivate, make grow his proper relationship with the Father and tend to his kingdom, tend to his garden, if you will. It's an analogy, it's a metaphor. Okay? When he failed to do that, both he, again, let me go back a little bit. When he, and how I can put this simply for you, when he failed to honor God's command not to eat of the fruit in the garden, he disobeyed God and he broke relationship with God. He severed that communion or intimacy with God. But God didn't forget about Adam. He would provide a way through Jesus Christ to restore that relationship. But it caused consequences. It caused sin to enter into the world and really mess up our lives in a lot of ways when we agree with it. Okay? So this is what was happening. We were to cultivate a relationship, to live by God's standards, to live by God's holy word. He gives us instructions. It's just that we fail to read it. Or better yet, we fail to obey it. It's there and it's read, but we just want to stay and keep one foot in the world and one foot with God. Not so with God. He wants 100% of you. So when Adam failed to cultivate his relationship with God in the correct manner, Jesus was sent by the Father to teach us how to cultivate that proper relationship with the Father and tend, listen now, and tend to his kingdom, his garden, if you will. Both Jesus and the Old Testament prophets related many of our Father's kingdom truths, heaven's truths, to the principles of gardening. Why? So that we could easily understand. So I'm going to focus today only on one of God's prophets named Hosea. And the word that Hosea received directly from the Lord. And it says this, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. So, that meaning not with a needle and thread, but into a garden, so with a view to righteousness. So with a view to right behavior. So with a view that you don't belong to the world anymore, we have a different set of standards to live by, we need to be sowing the things in our life towards doing what's right, doing things God's way. It says, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. It was the kindness of God that gave us grace to be saved. We inherit paradise because Jesus was the kindness, the grace that God sent to us to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we get to sow with a view of righteousness and then reap in accordance with God's kindness. It then says, break up your fallow ground, your hardened heart. Break it up. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Stay there, Eric. For it's time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain. See, we're continually seeking. We can't stop. It's a continuous process. We continue to enter into relationship deeper and deeper with God as we read his word and fellowship until he comes to rain. That means pour his righteousness all over us so that we have no choice but to rule and reign with Christ and he takes over completely. See, this scripture is so important to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you this question. Are you sowing right behavior? That's righteousness. Are you sowing right behavior into the kingdom? In other words, are we living according to God's principles, or are we trying to just make our own kingdom here on earth and live our own way? Are you sowing that right behavior into the kingdom? Are you reaping kindness from the things that you plant in other people's hearts? See, you know you're sowing kindness if what you get back is kindness, because God says we will reap what we sow. So I ask you, are you reaping kindness? Because if not, then you're probably not sowing kindness. That's what this scripture talks about. And then it says, are you breaking up the ground that tends to harden your heart? Folks, we can label that deliverance. That's what deliverance is all about. Breaking up the hardness of our heart, the things that we rebel against God with. And sometimes we can't do it on our own. We need help. And that's why we have ministers. That's why we have people that are mature in the gospel that can help break that ground of yours up so that, again, you could be delivered from anger and bitterness and jealousy and unforgiveness. And, well, you know all of those things that belong to Satan. We know that love and joy and peace and patience, those things, they belong to God. It's pretty easy to distinguish between evil and good, even for the unbeliever. So this is what we need to work on. We need to break up that ground that hardens our heart. Folks, when you seek the Lord, when you willfully read His Word to know who He is and what He's about and what He requires, when you fellowship with other believers, when you praise and worship and recognize He's King, and you really know Him, not just know about Him, but you really know Him, then when you do these things, God desires to fellowship with you. He draws nearer to you. You understand the Word better. You have your relationships that work out better because you're living this righteousness out. See, He's given you the righteousness. You've just got to exercise it because you have free will. It's a choice. It's always been a choice. So again, we say, seek the Lord. For when you do that, He pours out His Spirit and waters. Again, we're doing the analogy of this cultivation process as a gardener. And He waters your soul, that's your mind and your will and your emotions, with righteousness. He fills you with what you know you need to do that's right. But then it becomes a choice. Do I step toward that righteousness and do what's right? Or do I step away because of my own fleshly, carnal, we call it, desires? I want to live in, Lord, I don't want you to be 100% in control of me. I want some control. Well, that's not an option when we want to go to heaven. That's why He says the road's narrow. That's why He says it's not broad. It's broad that leads to hell. The road's broad because people want to live their own lives here today. But if you accept Jesus Christ as King, He's King, and you do what He says. The good part is that when you screw up, He forgives you, and we can still be part of the family. But if you have a bent to mess up and you're just thumbing your nose at God, well then, folks, you need to reevaluate whether you're truly saved or not. Because a part of God's kingdom is having that transformation going on in your life. Because it says here that God waters your soul with righteousness. Listen to the scripture again, and then let's break it down just a little bit further. Hosea 10:12. Again, just read it again. But read it with your eyes and ears of understanding by God's Spirit, not by your own reason, okay? Let's look at this spiritually. Sow with a view to righteousness. So plant good works. Plant the things you know about God. Not out of legalism. I'm not telling you got to live by the law. I'm telling you to live by that loving relationship because Jesus died for you and has given you heaven. Out of that love, you want to obey Daddy. You're part of His family. What Dad says goes. Father knows best. So, sow with that view of the righteousness you've received from Him. See, He's done it for you. You just have to come into agreement with it. It's not hard. You don't have to strive to be a Christian. You just have to yield. It says, reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground. Work on your life. Work on areas. You know, there's plenty of programs out there that offer deliverance to help you get through those areas you're struggling with. God knows you struggle because you're in this world and it's surrounding you. But you got to make efforts to break up that hardness of your heart so you get into these things that we have. We have For Your Health here at this church where we take you through and we show you God's principles and what He requires and how you can get through that process. There's other programs that are out there as well. Okay? It says, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness on you. Now, he's already put righteousness in you, right? But when he rains it on you, you're under that deluge. It's being poured over you that you're not even going to have a choice. You can't disobey anymore because he's taking over completely. But right now, while you're on this earth, you still have choice. And you make that choice every day, whether to obey or to disobey. Okay? So let's break it down. Solomon said this. King Solomon, the Bible says, was the wisest man that has ever lived. So I think this is good wisdom. Solomon said that sowing righteousness, this right, working towards the right behavior, right? We're all a work in progress. We're not going to get it completely right till we get to heaven, but at least our heart is God's, and when we do sin, we feel bad about it. We don't want to do it anymore. We've turned, we've repented, we're going in the opposite direction, but sometimes we trip and fall, and we need that Savior part of God that says, I forgive you, and we move on, okay? So don't think I'm getting back to the law where you have to be completely obedient, and if you're not and you're working by works, you're not going to get to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about here about sowing righteousness, pursuing righteousness, sowing those seeds of right behavior. And Solomon says that if you do this, it brings true rewards from God. I mean real rewards, not the rewards of this world, God's rewards. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. Pretty simple. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. In other words, the wicked are going to be deceived, and they'll be in hell forever. That burning fire forever and ever, which, you know, I'm not going to talk about this morning, but there's a real hell, folks, and it is for the wicked. And we don't want to sow into that. But he who pursues righteousness will receive the true reward. What's the true reward? Paradise. What does paradise mean? The beautiful park of God. God's going to descend the heavenly Jerusalem to this revised planet one day because he's going to restructure this place. There'll be no more sin, and we will live in that perfect garden that Adam once first lived in when the earth was first made before sin. It's glorious. And guess who will be king? Lord Jesus. That's why he's the only way. So I'm sorry about all the other religions. I'm sorry about all the other people that you think are saviors in the world or prophets that you think they're saving the world. Jesus is, was, and will always be God. He just came down to this earth to represent what heaven was like, so he had to take the form of a man. So let's remember that Jesus is the only way. It's the only way to be restored into that wonderful relationship with the Father. The Father accepts no other sacrifice. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that gets us back into relationship with the Father. Now, you can believe anything else, but it's not going to change anything. God's got only one way. That's the true reward. That's why it's so important that if you have some other religious belief, that someone introduces you to this word. Because I'm telling you, if you read it and you have people to mentor you, God will produce that righteousness in you. He will give you the understanding that you need. Okay. Well, folks, when you do what's right, you are rewarded with this love, because God is love, and life of God operating in and through you. Well, what does that mean? That means God, when you truly make Jesus Savior, meaning, hey, I want to go to heaven, who doesn't, right? And King and Lord, you've given your life and say, I surrender, Lord. My life is not my own anymore. Whatever you say goes, and he'll tell you through the Bible, and he'll tell you through anointed men and women of God. He'll tell you through worship. But when you make him that Lord, it says right this, what? God will come and live in and through you. That means God is spirit. And he, because his spirit is omnipresent. It's like the air you breathe. The air is everywhere. God can be everywhere because he's spirit. When you accept him as Lord and Savior, he comes with his spirit to live in you. His righteous standards, his giftings, his miracles and healings and all of the things that God gives to us lives within us. Now, we may never activate them in our life because we refuse to yield to that level. But God does have the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, come to live in us. And the biggest part, our part is, he's living in us. Now he wants to live through us. We've got to demonstrate. Guess what? We've got to sow. We've got to plant. We've got to plow. We've got to cultivate righteousness. We got to show people that God is God, a God of love. If we're not showing love, they're not going to see a God of love. If we're not sowing peace, they're not going to see that God's a God of peace. Especially through the time we're living in now, we should have peace. Because God is peace. And if his peace is living through us, we realize this isn't home. What's the worst thing that can happen? You take your last breath, and your next breath is in the presence of Almighty God in heaven, and we receive our reward. Folks, this is what God is talking about when we're talking about gardening, cultivating his kingdom, cultivating his garden. We have a part to play in this. So again, I tell you, God is living his life when you accept him in, but he wants to live it, more importantly, through you. You actually reap the fruit of his unfailing love. You will reap that inner witness that says, you know, I just have this peace. I can't understand where it's coming from, but I just have a peace through this. And I just feel like I just have his protection. And yeah, you'll go through difficult times. And yeah, we'll still lose loved ones. And yeah, hardship comes in times like that. But God will be right in there and get you through this while you're still here. One day it'll all be gone. You won't have to worry about crying anymore and sin anymore. It'll all be eradicated. But for now, God promises to join us and get us through these things while we are here. And he wants to demonstrate his power over some of those things. And I shouldn't say some, all of those things, if we are truly sowing righteousness, if we are truly being obedient. He will operate his power through you, and a lot of the sickness and disease and all the things that are coming against us will be under our feet, and we'll have victory over them as we exercise his standards, his principles, because you can't do it in your own strength. We do it through the power of the Word of God. So you will reap the fruit of his unfailing love, for that is who God is. Let's look at Lamentations, a book not frequently gone to here, but Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 25, says this: the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. Never, never. They are new every morning. For a Christian, we wake up, God is always with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. It says, great is your faithfulness. You see, we may be unfaithful, but God could never be unfaithful because he's God and he's perfect. See, the Lord is my portion, the scripture says my soul. See, my mind tells me the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I have hope in him. Well, what does the word hope mean? Expectation. I expect that God is with me, will never leave me or forsake me. He will protect me. And yes, even if I die because of whatever, that I'll immediately be in his presence and I have nothing more to worry about. I am eternally secure. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about the fires of hell and then weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and ever and ever, because I have a true relationship. I have one that knows not just about God, but really knows him. And I emphasize that. I emphasize that. Now remember, Hosea also told us to break up your unplowed ground. I love this part. In other words, quit sitting around and get to plowing. Stop being a complacent Christian. There is a world to win for Jesus. There's so many false religions out there. There's so many people that never even have heard of Jesus Christ. Our neighbors, maybe the person next door to you. And you are part of his heavenly evangelistic team. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your ticket to heaven, and your Lord, he's king, the king gives you an edict. He says, go and plow the ground. Again, it's an analogy. Go out there and sow my name. Go out there and let people know who I really am. Because God so loved what? The world. He loves everybody. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We send ourselves if we don't come and believe in him. And belief involves obedience. I hate to say it. It's truth. Faith without works is dead. Believing is because you are believing and obeying. So again, you are part of his evangelistic team. We need to get the word out that Jesus is both, just like God said, the Father. He's Savior and Lord. Stop trampling on grace. Stop preaching a cheap grace. It cost Jesus his life on earth. But he resurrected and he's now Lord, and that needs to be part of what we preach, the balance of God's righteousness and his purity and his love. But he's also a God of justice. He can't violate his own laws. There's consequences to sin. Jesus paid the penalty of sin, but there's still consequences to sin because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sin requires a penalty. Praise God, he's provided a way out from under it through Jesus Christ, but we must repent. Without repentance, you just can't live like the devil without repentance and think that the gate's wide and you're just going to walk into heaven. That's not what the Word of God declares. That's why it says you have to persevere. You have to fight for your faith. The devil wants to steal it from you. Some of you will say, oh, you're just preaching, you know, once saved, you know, you're not saved, once saved, always saved thing. I'm not talking about that. It doesn't matter whether you believe, well, the person was never saved if they didn't go to heaven or whatever. Well, maybe so. But if you're of the part that says, yeah, you can accept him, but you have a free will to walk away, well, the same thing applies. It's the same result. Live righteously, and you have no problems. Live righteously. So we got to break up our fallow ground and quit sitting around. God's word has been richly implanted in you. Well, at least if you're part of a church, right? Okay? And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're doing personal study and you're studying the scriptures, right? Then it's richly been implanted in you. So what does he want you to do with this information? And it's more than information. It's revelation. It's God's heart. What does he want you to do with it? Cultivate. Cultivate it. That's what he told Adam to do in the garden, cultivate the garden. I know that was in the physical, but we're talking spiritually now. We're in the New Testament. Jesus has come, died for your sins. You now are part of a heavenly kingdom. So we think now with what? Spiritual mind, spiritual ears, spiritual eyes. We have to look past the physical and look what God is trying to communicate to us. Aren't you tired of man's wisdom? Where has it gotten us? Look at the situation we're in now. I have to preach to you through a camera. We're not even able to meet physically. Because of man's so-called wisdom, right? Listen, we need God, and we need him desperately, and you need him desperately, and you need to be among God's people and studying God's word and experiencing this abundant life of Christ that we can have now, which I'll get into next week. Okay, so cultivate unplowed ground, which I call complacency. You're not doing anything about it. And unwatered soil. And I call that not obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible likens the Holy Spirit to water, okay? So here it is. If you don't obey those unctions, we call them, just that, you know, in my gut, I just know this to be right. The Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you. And if you don't water your soil, if it's unwatered, if you don't listen and you don't obey the Holy Spirit, what happens? The soil gets hard. So what happens? Your heart gets hard. It hardens your heart. And of course, that makes it a whole lot more difficult to plow, doesn't it? A whole lot more difficult to plow. It takes a lot more work. The harder your heart gets, the more difficult it is to get it plowed. Okay? Now make no mistake, you're good seed. Don't think I'm saying that you're bad seed and you all have hard hearts, because this is not for everybody. Everybody doesn't. Some of you are walking that righteous walk that Jesus has put within you to walk, and you're obeying and you're receiving the fruits of that and you're reaping and everything. But I'm talking to those of us, and I'm including myself sometimes, that sometimes struggle with the things in life and we're pulled in different directions. But I'm telling you right now, it's only because of our choice, because you're good seed. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's planted good seed in you. And let me tell you this, you have plenty of water. Why? Because you have 100% of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life, he promised to send you the Holy Spirit. So he's in there. His Spirit is within you. He'll bring up these things. You just have to get your mind to agree with it and walk it out in the Spirit. That's what's called by living by the Spirit. You subject your mind to the characteristics and the standards of God. And when you do that, you live by the Spirit. When you don't do that and you live by your own standards and man's rules, then you're living by what the Bible calls the flesh. And we're called as God's children to live by the Spirit. So again, you're good seed and you have plenty of water, plenty of the Holy Spirit, 100% of them, so what? So just get to plowing and sowing, just like the scripture says. Get to plowing and get to sowing. The good seed. The good seed. Okay? Hosea also told us that it's time to seek the Lord. Wow. Isn't it ever? Don't wait until your water source isn't available anymore. Don't wait until your water source isn't available anymore. You know the water source is, right? The Holy Spirit. Listen to the scripture in Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Folks, don't wait. If you don't really know Jesus Christ today, you don't know whether you're going to have tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. See, the Holy Spirit's still in the world today. And he's able to transform you. He's able to bring that righteousness within you and develop it and such. But you got to call upon him. You got to come into agreement with him. You've got to accept him. You can't continue to live your life the way you want it and have God too. You got to give it to God and give up. That's why we sing the songs about surrender, and we sing the songs and kneel before him, and he's Lord and Master. And you see some people in church get a little bit charismatic and they get a little wild and crazy, but I think it's because they're just so excited about the fact that they've been redeemed. That means they've been purchased by God. They know they're part of God's family and they're going to heaven. There will come a time when plowing and sowing will cease. There will come a time when plowing and sowing will cease. The harvest will come. Come on, that happens in the natural, and it's going to happen because God gives us this analogy in Scripture. It's going to happen spiritually. When the harvest comes, that's when the water source isn't going to be available anymore. Because God's going to gather his elect. He's going to gather those of us. Some of us call it the rapture. We're going to join Jesus and be with him forever, and the Holy Spirit goes with us. And it won't be available anymore. Plowing and sowing, your ability to accept him as Lord and Savior, your ability to walk this Christian life out, it's good. The season will be over, and the harvest will come, and your opportunity to work for the Lord will be over. John chapter 9, verse 4. We must work the works of him, capital H, that's God. We must work the works of God who sent me. And Jesus is speaking, so it's a capital M, me. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. So Jesus is telling us, because we're his, right? We're his bride. We're part of Jesus' family now because he died for us. We got to work the works of God the Father as long as it's day. Because what? Night is coming when no one can work. That's when Jesus comes, takes his bride out of the world, and all Holy Spirit's no longer here, and it will be as wicked as it will ever be. And that's when God will come to his final stages of ridding the world of all sin and wickedness and throwing the devil in the lake of fire and all those who have served him. Because if you're not serving Jesus, I hate to tell you, well, I'm not serving the devil. Well, if you're not serving Jesus, you're serving the devil. And that's where you'll join the devil, in that lake of fire. But I'm here to tell you, once Jesus is revealed, listen to me now, I'm winding this up. Once Jesus is revealed, that means we'll see him in the clouds. How did he tell his disciples he was going to return? Not standing in a temple declaring himself as God, not standing on some hillside, not downtown claiming, hey, I'm Jesus and stuff. Guys, let's get smart. Don't be ignorant. Don't listen to those things. Okay? Jesus said, I'm going to come back in the way I have left. And that means coming in the clouds, and every eye will see, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Who won't do that when they see him coming from heaven to earth? This is going to happen. So once Jesus is revealed, and when he returns for us, we won't have to seek out righteousness anymore. We're not going to have to seek out, we're not going to have to work for him anymore. We're not going to have, it's going to cease. Why? Get back to Hosea, what I just preached to you. It will cover us, this righteousness, like a flood. Remember Hosea 10:12 again. It says, he will shower his righteousness on you. Now, it's already in you, but he will shower his righteousness on you. Now, think about a shower. It's a steady stream of flowing water, the Holy Spirit. You can't get away from Him. Wow. And who would ever want to? You're going to be deluged, if you will, with His righteousness to the point where it's just part of who you are, and there's no work involved. You won't have to come into agreement. You won't have to do anything. You're just going to be raptured into His presence and become just all a part of who He is. I can't even describe it. Words can't even describe what it's going to be like. And I don't even know if I'm completely inaccurate with exactly all of that picture of how it's going to be when we're with Him. I just know that there'll be no more tears, that we'll be with Him forever, that we won't suffer the pains of hell, that we'll be forever in the presence of an almighty loving God who's loved us from the very beginning. Even for those of you who have not accepted Him, He still loves you. But because of his righteous standards, He will allow you to go to hell because you haven't chosen Him to make Him your Lord, your God, your Savior. One more time, Hosea 10:12. Please get this today. Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness, pour out righteousness upon you. So folks, it's time to work, to cultivate. To cultivate. Work's a bad word because I'm not saying you get to heaven by works. I'm saying you're cultivating His righteousness that He's placed in you until He comes. Do what is right regardless of the cost, and the life and the love of God will operate in and through you. When you do what's right, regardless of the cost, again, His life, His born-again life, this love of God will operate in you and it will operate through you. What a reward for faithfulness. So determined to get off the sidelines and get in the game for you sports enthusiasts. Get off the sidelines and get in the game. It's time to seek the Lord and His strength until you no longer have to deal with your old nature anymore. God bless you, and I pray that you've made that decision for Jesus Christ today. And if you had made your decision, but you never made Him Lord, make it today, because today is that day of salvation. Hallelujah. God bless you. And I pray that we'll be able to meet corporately again next week. But if not, we'll come to you again in your homes. But we're praying that this week will be the week that we'll all be able to gather again as Christians. God bless you. The Master's not done, and we're not done yet. We don't stop. We keep moving. For by grace, the Scripture says as I started, we are saved. For by grace we are saved through faith. Not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. See, God gives us the faith to believe. It's not even our own faith. For by grace we are saved through faith. Through faith. And faith without works is dead. So our part is to receive the faith of God and to exercise it. That's all we have to do is exercise the faith that He gives us. This way grace is empowered and we receive our inheritance. So once again, for by grace we are saved through faith, the faith that God gives us. It's there for you. All you have to do is make that choice. And I pray that all of us this morning have made that wonderful, beautiful choice. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this morning, for the Word of God, which does not lie. It's forever settled in heaven. Thank You for the message of salvation that brings people to an understanding that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, the only perfect sacrifice that ever lived. Thank You for the understanding of knowing that we have a role to play to reap and to plow and to sow. And yeah, we even get to see some of the harvest. There's nothing greater than to see people saved, to see people come to Christ. And you were a part of God doing that, and He used you, and the joy that comes with that. There's just no greater blessing. So this morning, Lord, I pray that this will be the last Sunday that we have to go via video, But we're going to continue the videos anyway, even when we come back to church, for those of you that might not be able to make it to church. But Lord, this morning, just bless those who are listening. I pray, Lord, that you will just shower them with your righteousness, that you will shower them with your blessing, that their ears and eyes and mind of understanding will be spiritual, God, that they will tune into you more than ever, that they will live their lives for you and recognize that this world will be coming to an end. We can sense it already. The Bible's come alive. We see the prophetic word coming to pass. We're nearing the end when Jesus does come in those clouds to receive us home. And so be prepared. Don't be like the virgins that didn't fill their lamps with oil. Be prepared. Fill yourself. Let the Holy Spirit come in and allow you to live the rest of your remaining days underneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This church loves you. I love you with the love of God. I couldn't love you with my own personal love because I don't even know how to love. But God loves you. Know that this morning. That's why he so desperately wants an intimate relationship with you. And next week we'll talk about an intimate relationship. So God bless. And we will definitely next week be with you by video and or both here in the sanctuary. And we pray that our government will release us to come back together as the family of God in close proximity so that we can again encourage, support, and love one another. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen.